Our relationship with God is so important. That's why the In Touch Radio Network on iHeartRadio provides you with biblical teaching you can trust. With daily devotions, sermons by Dr. Charles Stanley, and also featuring our Spanish station, In Contacto, the In Touch Radio Network will help you gain a deeper understanding of God's Word and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen anytime and anywhere. Just search In Touch on your iHeartRadio app.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I'm the pastor of Elevation Church, and this is our podcast. I wanted to thank you for joining us today. Hope this inspires you. Hope it builds your faith. Hope it gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
Today, I am grateful to be worshiping at Elevation Church. Come on, if you're thankful for this house, if you're thankful for what he's doing. David said, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. 1,000 days. That's like 2.5 years. So I don't know what the next 2.5 years of your life's going to look like. But if this is the last best day, you're in God's house. Come on, somebody celebrate the name of Jesus. Like this is the best day in the next 2.5 years. Come on. We worship you, God. We praise you, Lord. I want you to reach for your Bible. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Go ahead and stay standing as we get ready to read the scripture today. It is such an honor to be at Elevation Church. It is a privilege for me. And I just love what God is doing all throughout the earth. I'm here today on Sunday, but I've been like with y'all this week. Because if you don't know, your church is on tour. Elevation Nights has been changing city after city. And I got to hop in. I was like a roadie. Or maybe I was like a groupie. Maybe more of a groupie. I think I was more of a groupie. And I was in Long Island. Was the UBS Arena? Is that what it was, Chunks? Y'all, did you know that there are people sold out for Jesus in Long Island? In Boston. Sold out crowds all up and down the Northeast. And man, it was powerful seeing that place full. People worshiping, singing the songs that were written right out of this house. Pastor Holly was up on the stage, just presidential, poised and beautiful and wonderful. Abby's up on the stage preaching fire. Anybody grateful for Pastor Stephen Furtick, man? I've heard him preach so much, but this week, man, the messages he was sharing, changing all of us, deep, direct, beautiful. And I'm so thankful for how God is using this church all over the world. And I hope you're thankful for it. Today we're gathered on Sunday, but your church has been happening every day of the week this past week. And it was C.S. Lewis who said it this way. He said, friendship is born at the moment that you go, ah, you too? I thought I was the only one. And Pastor Stephen has a way that when he preaches from this pulpit, we all go, ah, I thought I was the only one. And I'm so thankful for his life. I'm thankful for his leadership. His messages right behind this pulpit have changed my life. But I got to be honest with you, the life he lives off of this stage, man, his pastoring has changed me, but his friendship has matured me. And I know he's not in the room today, but come on, I believe he's watching right now at every location. Can we just thank God for our pastor? Come on, make some noise if you love Pastor Stephen, Pastor Holly, Elijah, Graham, and we love all y'all. And yo, this is not just a regular series. This is a life message. I get to preach in part 3 of Do the New You. trying to get that anointing on me. Someone say, do the new you. Not the old you, not the projected you, the new you, the you that God has called you to be. And we've been talking about these mindsets. And what a powerful message. Honestly, I just can't encourage you. I know there's people watching online right now. Get the book. It just hit New York Times bestseller, but man, what a tragedy for you just to let him teach you. Get even deeper. Get into the book, because these six different mindsets will transform your life. How many of y'all know our mind is set on something? I hope that when you come into this house, we're not saying something new. We're saying something quite old. But we are reminding who you have been called to be. I'm even believing today, right now, it might be a mindset reset. Remember the Nintendo? The game wasn't going good, very good. You pulled that game out. Reset. May today be a great reset. And we've been talking about lots of great things. And week one, he was talking about, I'm not stuck unless I stop. Y'all been listening, man. Do y'all know the second one? Christ is in me. Okay. Just making sure y'all been listening to the teacher. We're going to get into mindset number three. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. Let me read it, and then we will preach it. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Someone say 12 years.
12 years.
She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Talk about a mindset. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Come on, have you received that word today? Somebody just clap your hands. Mindset number three. With God, there's always a way. And by faith, I will find it. Do me a favor, touch three different people before you sit down and say, by faith, you're going to find it. Say, by faith, you're going to find it. By faith, you're going to find it. How many believe today that God is never late? That was okay. I said, how many believe that God is never late? God is never late, but have you ever realized rarely is he early? No, God is not on my time. God is not on your time. God is on time. On time is God time. How many believe that we serve a God who's on time? What's funny is I've been serving the Lord for many, many years. And what I've realized about God is that he's definitely not on my time. He's certainly not on your time. But sometimes it feels like to me that God is on Miami time. Now, I'm from Miami. Maybe you don't know about Miami time. But in 1998, I moved all the way from Tacoma, Washington to the city of Miami. And when I got to Miami, I discovered this little term. It's called ish. Do you know about ish? What time are we meeting? 12? Ish. I'll never forget it. My first year there, I was 14 years of age, and I got invited to a wedding. It was a Puerto Rican Haitian wedding. You haven't lived until you've been to a Puerto Rican Haitian wedding. The invitation said 4 p.m., so I showed up like a Caucasian at 3:45. I'm so white, y'all. Pray for me. I got there at 3:45. I was like, this is awesome. I can't wait. This is going to be incredible, you know? And, you know, 4:15 hit, and I'm like, it's kind of late, you know? This is strange. 4:30, 4:45. I'm breaking out in hives at 4:45. And I'm about to leave, and the guy next to me says, oh, don't you leave. This thing will start at some point. 2 hours later, 6 p.m. at night, the wedding finally began. But y'all, ain't no party like a Puerto Rican Haitian party, because a Puerto Rican Haitian party don't stop. Once this thing began, it just kept going and going and going. This was a wedding like I had never been to before. God is not on your time and he's not on my time. Sometimes he's on Miami time. And the thing I know about Miami time is that it might not be how you planned it, but with God, it's going to be better than how you expected it. Somebody put your hands together and thank him that he's on time. Say God time. I want us to be a church, and I want us to be a people that understand that when God begins to move in your life, it probably won't happen the way that you expected it to happen. It's not that I'm against speed. I just think that we're living in some interesting times right now where people are so used to getting everything immediately that all it's doing is increasing depression. It's increasing discontentment. I'm not against speed, as long as we all agree that speed is a luxury, not an entitlement. Look around today. We are living in a world right now that we all know the price of everything, but some of us know the value of nothing. Good things, God things take time. That when God starts something in your life, I don't know when he's going to start it. I don't know when he's going to show up. I don't know how he's going to intervene. But I know this, that he who began a good work in you, he will carry it out unto completion. Somebody take a few moments right now. Thank him in advance that he's always on time. God time is on time. And in Mark chapter 5, we have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story about the timing of God. That with God, there's always a way, and by faith, I will find it. The text, as we began reading today, starts out with this story. And really, we don't have enough time, but the text is about two women. This man by the name of Jairus, who is a successful synagogue leader, comes to Jesus with a cry from his heart that his little 12-year-old daughter is about to die. Now, right away, as I read the text, what I notice is that this man has a big position and a big title, but sometimes your position and your title can't solve all your problems. And so by faith, he comes to the feet of Jesus and he pleads with Jesus. What it shows me quickly is that as Jesus hears the man's request, Jesus is moved by the man's faith. Meaning, my faith can move God. Jesus goes with the man to his house to heal his little daughter. Before they get there, she actually dies on the way. Now, let me just skip to the end of her story. We'll come back to it in a moment. But he gets to the house of this little girl, and she's died while Jesus was on the journey. And when he walks in, there's all these mourners, and there's people crying. And Jesus walks in and says, y'all stop crying. And they start laughing at him. He's like, no. The little girl is just asleep. They're going, ha, no, you're crazy. And notice what Jesus does as you go back and read it. He clears the room. I can't have this kind of mindset around me. I'm about to bring about a resurrection, and I don't have no time for doubt and for laughter to be around me. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Stephen was preaching the story about the walls of Jericho. I love it. I'm not stuck unless I stop. Remember the word of the Lord? What does he say to the Israelites? He says, for 6 days, march around those walls. But remember, there is a particular commandment he gives them. He says, when you march for 6 days, don't say a word. Can you imagine how silly this looks? We're finally here for a battle. We ain't got no swords. We ain't got no shields. We're just silent. Why did God tell them to be silent? Because these are the children of complainers. And God was saying, shh, there's a miracle in progress. And I can't allow you to speak right now because you don't realize it. The only enemy is yourself. And if I let you start talking while you're marching, you might talk yourself out of a miracle. So be quiet. There's a victory in progress. March in faith. Come on, somebody, if you believe it today. Jesus heals this little girl and resurrects her. The father's reach moves Jesus, but Jesus's reach resurrects the girl. It was all by faith. But what I want us to highlight today, if we can for a few moments, is the timing of God. Because as Jesus is moved by Jairus towards their home, the scripture says that there's another woman. And what appears to be an interruption to Jesus on the way to Jairus's house, I actually believe it's a divine intervention. I actually believe it's a divine appointment. I actually believe it's God's time. The Bible says that as he's on his way, that there's a woman there who has an issue of blood. And she's had this issue for 12 years. My father, who is my hero, wrote a book in the 80s entitled Private Pain. And the book was based on this woman with the issue of blood, that she is bleeding, but no one around her is all the way even aware of her pain. It's a private pain. How many of y'all know it's one thing to have a struggle, and it's one thing to have an issue. It's another thing when you have that issue for 12 long years. Now, I don't know who's watching today. I don't know who came into this place today, but some of you, you quickly relate to this woman. Because although you might not be bleeding physically, you would say, I'm hemorrhaging emotionally. I'm hemorrhaging relationally. I want to encourage you today, as we look at this passage, that with God, there's always a way, and by faith, you will find it. Quickly, what I notice about this woman is that somehow this woman who's had the same struggle for 12 long years, somehow in all of the hurt that she has faced in life, her hurt hasn't stolen her hope. I felt it so deep in my heart on the way over here. I want to tell some people who are watching right now, don't give up hope. Hope is the building blocks to your faith. Hope is the belief that although I can't see God, I can still sense God. Hope is this belief that although it seems like he might be absent, I'm going to firmly believe that he's present. You ever heard someone say to you, don't get your hopes up? Sometimes people say that. They're not saying that to be mean. How many of you know? Sometimes they say that to be merciful. Because they don't want you to put your hope in something and then not get it and lead to greater disappointment. That's why the scripture says hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. But today, the mindset is not about getting your hope up. No, that's not what we're teaching today. Hope is too heavy for you to hold up on your own. No, you don't hold hope up. Come on, somebody. You put hope in. The psalmist said, why is my soul so downcast? Woo. Put your hope in God. I don't put my hope in an outcome. I put my hope in God. I don't put my hope in an agenda. I put my hope in God. Come on, is there anybody in the room today that would say, I'm putting my hope in God? It is not the strength of your faith. It's the object of your faith. We're not teaching mind over matter here at Elevation Church. We are teaching faith over unbelief. It's not faith in faith. No, my faith is attached to Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, author and perfecter of my story. We attach our faith to Jesus. And when I look at this woman, quickly what I see is that her hope works. Someone say, hope works. Don't get it mistaken. Hope works. How do I know hope works? Because look at what the text says. The text says that this woman has seen many physicians. She's gone to many doctors. In fact, the Bible says that she spent everything that she has had trying to get well. And it's a troubling verse. It says that as she spent everything and as she tried to go and see different doctors, every time she just grew worse. Now, I'm sad that she suffered in this way, but I'm grateful that she kept trying. It shows me that she has hope because hope works. Don't get it twisted. Today, if you have hope, you will work. You will do what you can do and trust that God will do what you can't do. I have three little kids, and my oldest boy, his name is Wyatt Wesley Wilkerson. He's 6 years of age. My youngest, who's my favorite child, it's my daughter. Her name is Waylon, and she's two. And then right in between, I think every time I come to Elevation, I have to always tell you a story about my boy in between. His name is Wild. And it's wild to name your son Wild. And Wyatt, my oldest, is quite large for his age. He's like in the top 90 percentile for height and weight. And Wild, on the other hand, is quite small for his age. He's little, but he's feisty. He's little, but he's scrappy. And for the most part, this is never really much of a problem until we go to Disney World. Because at Disney World, they have these rules and qualifications to get on a ride. And so we were going to Disney World the other day, and Wild's, you know, he really wants to go on the Slinky roller coaster. He's like, Dad, I want to go on the Slinky roller coaster. The problem is you got to be 44 inches to go on that ride. Wild is like 30-inch something, you know? I said, Wild, man, I'm so sorry. You know, it's not going to happen, bro. You're just too short. And Wild, he said, but Dad, can we please try? I said, sure, son. What do you got in mind? And so him and his brother went and got hair gel. Spiked his hair up. Put his older brother's shoes on. Can I show you what a picture looks like of hope working? This is my son, Wild. Look at this photo. You want to know what hope looks like? That's hope. I'm not tall enough, but I'm going to do everything I can. Sometimes hope looks like you spiking up your hair, getting some platform shoes on, saying, I'm not there yet, but I am on my way. Is there anybody in the room today who's got a little bit of hope in their heart? Hope works! Hoping in God looks like waiting on God. You got to learn to wait on the Lord. The prophet Isaiah said, wait on the Lord and he shall renew your strength. While you're waiting, you're getting stronger. While you're waiting, he's developing you. While you're waiting, you have no idea what he is working out, but there is a point to the wait. I think waiting on God is this. Waiting on God means doing everything that you possibly can and then surrendering everything you can't. So if you're sick in your body today, do everything you can. Call upon God. Do what James says. Call the elders. Get the oil. Pray the prayer of faith. Take the medication. Go to the doctor. Get the surgery, for heaven's sake. But then you surrender control and you say, God, I'm going to give you my grief. God, I'm not going to let the enemy get a foothold of bitterness. God, I'm going to trust you that you are making a way where there seems to be no way. If you got a dream in your heart, man, Pastor Steve is up here preaching the do the new you, and you're getting inspired. You're like, that's it, man. This is my year, 2024. I got to roar. I hear you. So do everything that you can. Call upon God. God, you put this dream in my heart. God, you started this dream. But then get to work. Build your network. Sharpen your skills. Watch a YouTube video. Read a book. And then surrender everything that you can. God, I'm gonna give you my timeline. God, I'm gonna trust you with it. God, I believe that you have a plan. Amen. If you're single and you wanna get married, do everything you can. Call upon God. Lord, I need a man. I love dating you, Jesus, but I think we should see other people. Just came to me right now. It makes me laugh. Stay interesting. Every once in a while, leave your house. No, I'm just waiting on God. You don't think you gotta like walk out the door? No, he can bring my man right here on the front doorstep. All right, sister, I hope you like Uber Eat men, because that's all you're working with. No, do everything that you can and then surrender your control over to God. God, I'm gonna trust you. God, I'm not gonna lower my standard. God, I might be single, but I'm gonna remain secure in you. God, you're the one who completes me. God, you're the one who's making a way. With God, there's always a way, and by faith, I will find it. It's funny, because while I got his hair all spiked up, I'm not there yet, but I'm gonna do whatever I can. We got to the Slinky ride. Don't tell Disney. But I put Wild on my feet. We snuck him on, y'all. How many can testify that that's your story? That you weren't qualified, you didn't measure up, but there's a good father who stepped in and said, they that wait upon the Lord, I will renew their strength. Humble yourself before God, and in due season, come on, baby, he will lift you up. Somebody give God some praise in this house today. This woman is doing everything she knows to do. But although she's doing everything she knows to do, her problem's not getting better, it's getting worse. But then the Bible says it. She heard about Jesus. Church, we gotta keep telling people about Jesus. I just wanna encourage some folks out there. There's power in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you believe, there's breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Come on, there's healing in the name of Jesus. There's purpose in the name of Jesus. She heard about Jesus. She's tried everything but faith. Because faith begins where your ability ends. The scripture says that she heard about Jesus. I don't know what she heard, but something tells me it was good news. We opened up church today. This is the gospel. This is the good news. I don't know who's watching right now, but Jesus did not come to this earth to make bad little boys good little boys. He came for a much deeper reason than that. He came to bring people who are dead and bring them back to life through his healing power. Anybody thankful for the gospel? It's always good news. I'm grateful for the way that your pastor preaches, because he preaches with a smile on his face. He preaches with the joy of the Lord. He preaches every message, bringing it back to the person of Jesus and bringing it back to the good news. She heard about Jesus. And then notice it right there. The scripture says that she heard about Jesus and she thought. Someone say she thought. She thought. She thought, if I could just touch his clothes, then I could be made well. Another translation says that she said, she spoke, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I would be made well. What kind of a mindset is this? If I could just, who taught her this? Where did she learn this? If I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I would be made well. It started as a thought, and then the thought erupted into her mouth. See, faith talks. Faith speaks. Faith says things. Faith isn't silent. Faith actually has a sound. That's why on the seventh march around those walls, God said, all right, you've been marching six times, but now on the seventh time, I want you to open up your mouth and shout, because when you shout, those walls are coming down because faith has a sound. I wonder, is the sound at Elevation Church this morning? Listen to me. You have to get a confession that is louder than your circumstance. She said it before she saw it. Oh, because that's how faith works. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Before she sees it, she says it. When we were first starting the church, probably year one or year two, I pastored a church in Miami, Florida called VU Church. And it's always so fun because there's always people from the Elevation World eFam that are always like, I guess, taking a cruise out of Miami. Like, we came in for the early service, you know. I love it when you guys come by and say hello. But we started this church in Miami. And in year one, we were able to rent an office space. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I think it was 3,500 square feet chunks. It was small. But, you know, I've always been a faith man. I don't say what I see. I say what I want to see. So we didn't call it an office. We called it the international headquarters. And so I was at headquarters one day and I needed to get a ride home. And my brother-in-law, who had just joined our team, young in the ministry, just a servant for the Lord, I was like, bro, can you give me a ride home? And so we exit the headquarters and we make our way to this little parking lot, and where the headquarters was, let's just say it wasn't a very good area of town. And my brother-in-law, God bless him, at the time was driving a 2008 Chrysler 300 gray with 20-inch rims. I think it had 150,000 miles on it. And as we made our way over to the car, somebody had smashed his window in. I just thought that was mean, you know? It's like my boy's already, you know, struggling with the whole ride setup. And and then to add insult to injury, it's like, bro, really? You're going to shatter this man's window? You just took his struggle to suffering, you know? And so you do what you do, you know? Like, we quickly went back into HQ, checked out duct tape and a plastic sack from supplies. And we came in and we duct taped the window to make it home, and we got in the car. It's just like a scene, bro. Like, this old beaten down car. Now there's glass all over the floor. We have a duct tape paper sack, plastic sack. Makes that dumb noise. And instantly when we got in the car, I don't know if you remember that old song. It's not Elevation Worship, so I hope I don't get in trouble. But the stereo came on and it was that song. You are good, good. Oh, and we're driving. I just look at my brother. I'm like, really? We're both like, I ain't singing that, you know? You are good. Good. Oh. It's like, ain't nothing good about this, God. This is a bad situation. But I don't know what it was. Remember that bridge on that song? You're never gonna let me down. Follow Jesus. I promise you, it's an adventure. That bridge came on, and I don't know where it was. I think it was like the second time in that bridge. At some point, man, that thing kept going. And finally, man, the Spirit of God hit that Chrysler 300. And they came into that bridge a second time, but man, I can't sing very good, but something came out of the depths of my soul. I hit it hard. You're never gonna let me down. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but you gotta have a confession that is louder than your circumstance. I don't care what you're driving in. I don't care what the vehicle looks like. Keep on singing. Keep on worshiping. Your car might be busted, but your faith is not broken. I got a faith and a confession that speaks. Somebody take about 5 seconds and remind the enemy you know who you are. You're never gonna let me down. But Rich, that don't make no sense. I know. That's faith. If you're waiting for it to make sense, you're never gonna step into faith. Because faith is the absence of sense. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. You certainly can't see it. But you can hear about Jesus. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Friends, the garment is not even him. She had a kind of faith that said, if I could just touch the thing that's touching him. I got a revelation today. If the garment's got power, if the clothes have got power, how much more power does the body of Jesus Christ have? Come on, somebody. We are the church. I don't know about you, man, but when we gather, this isn't a cool atmosphere. It's not a concert. This is the very presence of God. And when you and I get into this place, you have no idea the miracles on your left, the miracles on your right. If I could pass this microphone down the rows, you would start hearing the testimonies and the stories from right here in this body of God's wonder-working power. I can't miss a Sunday at Elevation Church. I gotta be in God's house. You don't know what's gonna happen when the body gets together. If his garments got power, how much more power does his body have? I know there's some things that are going around today about the church, and some people hurt by the church, and I understand it. And there's some things that we must get right in the church, no doubt about it. But may I remind everybody in this room, ain't nobody have more church hurt than Jesus. And he keeps on showing up. Come on, somebody thank Jesus today that he's never let you down. He's never quit. He keeps showing up. So here comes this woman, and if I could just touch it, the hem of his garment. And the scripture says that she begins to step through the crowd, because at some point, faith doesn't just talk. Faith has got to walk. We didn't gather you here just to talk. We've actually gathered you here that you might scatter back into wherever it is that you're going, walking the walk of faith. I hope you know that God is, he's motion activated. Have you learned this about God? Like, you ever been to one of those, like, those sinks that, you know, there's water there, but like, there's no way to turn it on. It's motion activated. So you have access to water, but the water will not begin to flow until you motion your hands. James said, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. Because when I move, God moves just like that. I feel this sermon more than some of y'all responded, and that's okay. I'm gonna bless myself up here. Come on, how many of y'all believe that when you step, it gets the attention of heaven? So here comes this woman, and she's pressing through this crowd, an issue for 12 years, and she's got this belief in her mind that with God, there's always a way, and my hope is working, and I've been waiting, but I'm gonna keep on trying. And as she gets close to Jesus, she touches the hem of his garment. And when she does, the Bible says that instantly, immediately, she's healed. So much so that Jesus is like, yo, who touched me? One gospel, the scripture said that Peter's like, yo, Jesus, you gotta love Peter, right? It's like, bro, shut up, please, you know? 2,000 years later, we're gonna use you in every illustration we got. Jesus, come on, you don't know who touched you. The whole crowd's pressing at you. Come on, man, like, everyone's touching you. But Jesus is saying, no. There is a difference between the touch of fame and the touch of faith. Meaning, just because you come to church doesn't mean anything's gonna change. You ever been like in one of those seasons, maybe you went to an Elevation night, you're like, oh my God. It's too early to make myself laugh this hard. Oh my God, I'm on fire. You know this language we use? I'm on fire. You ever been like, I'm on fire for God? It's like Friday night. I'm on fire. Nothing can stop these flames. But then I don't know. It's like you go to, you know, work on Monday. Or how about you get in traffic on Tuesday? And this fire that was burning so bright is quickly shut out just with traffic, yo. Spirit fingers. Where'd the fire go? Because there's a difference from just showing up to the crowd instead of coming out of the crowd. One of the most dangerous places you'll find yourself in life is to think that you are on fire for God, but come to find out you were just sensing the heat from everyone else around you. I'm not trying to make you feel less than, I'm trying to empower you that if I just came for one person, if it's just one person on the other end of that camera, that you've been struggling with the same thing and you've been trying, I wanna let you know that God sees you and God knows your name. And when you make your faith personal, He notices, He senses. He didn't come for the crowd, He came for you. Come on, somebody, thank God today. Worship team can start making their way up here. And this woman, she's pressing through the crowd and she's stepping towards Jesus and she touches the hem of His garment and instantly she's healed. And as she's healed, Jesus asks this question, "Who touched me?" And they say, "Hey, come on, all sorts of people were touching." He's like, "No, I felt something leave my body. That was a touch of faith." And then this woman, she speaks up and she says, it was me. And she was terrified. You say, why was she terrified? Because when Jesus turns to her, she's not looking at a good teacher and she's not looking at a good man. She is staring at the face of God. It's the face of God. And this woman, I believe one of the great reasons why she is in the Bible, and this is an encouragement for so many of you, is that she is proof positive that at your weakest moment, you are still strong enough to touch Jesus. What's amazing is that I sense this so deeply in my heart. What's amazing is that if you just take one step towards Jesus, immediately He begins working on your behalf. Immediately. The Bible says that the Lord looks to and fro throughout the whole earth, and He's looking for a humble heart. He's looking for a righteous heart, someone that He can come alongside and strengthen. I just have this mindset. My mind is set that God is good and has good things for me. So I actually believe that God's looking for people to hook up. God's looking for people to validate. God's looking for people to partner with. And as you just take one step towards Jesus, whether you know it or not, He starts working. Listen to me. It doesn't mean as He begins to work that you're immediately taken out of the fire of your circumstance. You're not immediately always removed from it. We have to trust and wait on His time because God's time is on time. People always ask that question. Hey, you know, what's your favorite food? You ever heard this question before? And like a lot of times when people ask this question, they have two different angles on it. One angle is, what's your favorite food? Meaning if it was your last meal, you're on your deathbed, what do you want to eat? Or the other angle they mean is like, you know, what's your favorite food? What's the one thing that you would eat every day if you could? For me, with both crazy hypothetical situations, I choose the same thing. I plead pizza. You want to know what manna was? The early stages of pizza. The other day, I went to one of my favorite pizzerias in Miami. It's a pretty famous place. And I got there when I showed up, man, there was like a line out the door. So many people trying to get in. We finally got seated and we were waiting for our pizza. We put our orders in and finally pizza came out. I'm a pepperoni and cheese guy. It came out and I took one bite of it and immediately I was like, this ain't right. Come on, man. This is soft. It wasn't holding. You know how you want your slice to hold up? You know, it wasn't holding up. And I can't be for certain. I don't really know what happened, but something tells me that that day, the chef was under such pressure and under such demand that he started rushing orders. It's another message for another time, but the fastest way to steal your sauce is that gift Your sauce is that thing that God's called you to do. Your sauce is that special thing that God's put inside of you. The fastest way for you to steal your sauce is start trying to please people more than what God's called you to do. I'm gonna preach that. I see it right now, but I'm not gonna. It wasn't right. Because if you're anything like me, I don't just want my pizza hot. But in the words of Little Caesars, it's got to be hot and ready. You didn't know I could preach pizza. This is a place that I can tell is hot. Your faith might have a sound and your faith might even have a step. But just because you're shouting and just because you're stepping doesn't actually mean that you're always ready. You know what I love about this book? There's no doubt that this book is hot. But you know when the last time Pastor Stephen wrote anything on paper and gave it to us? It's been 8 years. 8 is the number of new beginnings. It is no surprise to me whatsoever that it's a New York Times bestseller, because it's not that it's just hot and passionate, it's that it's ready. It's that it's the right time. I want to encourage some people right now. You're hot, but you might not be ready. I want to encourage you, keep up your passion. Keep stirring up the gift on the inside of you. But just because you're passionate and just because you're excited doesn't necessarily mean that you're ready. I know some of you right now, you're like, I'm in the oven of life. The heat is turning up, man. When's he gonna pull me out? And I just want to encourage you, trust God's timing, because God is the master chef. Somebody say, let him cook today. He knows the right time of when he's gonna pull you out. And this woman, what I see about her, and it's just an observation, is something tells me is that she's not just hot and passionate, it's that she's ready for her breakthrough. We don't get her name. Did you notice that? She's preached as the woman with the issue of blood. That's how we know her. The woman with the issue of blood. And see, the great lie that many of us buy into is that your issue is you. But the power of the gospel is to remind you over and over and over again that your identity is not made up of your issues. You are not your mistake. You are not your failure. You're not your doubt. You're not your insecurity. You're not your bouts with depression. You're not your mistake from last year. You're not even your mistake of tomorrow. We all got issues. But it's one thing when your issue has you. It's one thing to have issues. It's another thing when you're controlled by your issues. And notice this woman. This woman showcases us that she's not just mind over matter and shouting and stepping, but we see something that she has a clue about, in that her behavior is breaking past every label on her life. She's a woman. And in that time period, that was an issue. She had a sociological issue. She was not allowed to go up to a man and touch a man. Remember that woman in Luke chapter 7 when she brought the alabaster box? It wasn't even the world that scolded her. The very disciples of Jesus said, why are you letting this woman touch you? She doesn't just have a sociological issue. She's got a theological issue. This bleeding that she's got going on means that she is unclean. If you're unclean, you can't touch Jesus, let alone you can't touch a rabbi. But this woman with a sociological issue, with a physical issue, with a theological issue, she's got a religion that's preventing her. But the very hope and calling of relationship is pulling her. And Jesus instantly and immediately heals her. And I just thought today, I thought it was important to point out that I'm really glad that her issue of the bleeding stopped. I'm really grateful that she got healed. I'm really grateful that the suffering in her body stopped. But let's be honest, that's not really the power of the story. Because how many of you know, she's gonna have some more issues in the future. The story that we're reading about isn't just simply that her blood flow stopped. The story is in the Bible because she has a faith that was so powerful and so strong that made a way. And the way that it made it is that she reissued her identity. She reissued her identity. Because everyone's like, yo, you can't go and touch a man. No. I'm not just some girl. I'm actually his daughter. No. You're bleeding. You're unclean. No. I'm hurt. And I know the man that I'm reaching out to. I know that he sees me and he cares about me. The power of this story is a faith that reissued an identity, the new you. I want to say it so boldly in my heart. If you will approach God like a father, every time he will only treat you like a daughter. I don't know who needs to hear that today. Woman of God, man of God, if you'll approach him like dad, he'll treat you like his son. He'll treat you like a daughter. Would you believe that this is the only time in the New Testament that Jesus Christ looks at someone and calls them daughter? Because she had a faith that reissued her identity. Yeah, I'm glad that I got my healing, but bigger than that and greater than that is that I know it's been 12 years of suffering. Oh, but baby girl, it's going to be worth it because you're now going to have an eternity of rejoicing. I know it wasn't your time. It's called God time. It's called God time. You are not your issue. Your identity is child of God. Your identity, when you put your faith in Jesus, is son. It is daughter. And I just can't help but see it when I think about the timing of God. Because please understand, the story began with Jairus, who has a 12-year-old daughter who's so sick she's about to die. And it just so happens that there's a woman who has an issue for 12 long years. One is dying slowly. The other has died suddenly. I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't think that the very year that this little girl was born, this problem began. See how I said that right there? But here comes the reframing of it. The very moment your problem began, a pathway to your promise was born. And I just think that these two stories overlap and intersect and have this interruption because it is a divine appointment of God's timing. That what he's wanting to say to every one of us, that if you are in the room today and you ain't got a daddy like Jairus, maybe somebody dropped you. Maybe somebody hurt you. Maybe you've never had anybody plead for you on your behalf. Maybe you've been betrayed and let down and people have let you go. I just want to encourage you. I think the story's in the Bible because if you ain't got a daddy like Jairus, whoo, you still got a Savior named Jesus who shows up right on time. Would you believe me if I told you that 12 is the number of order in the Bible? 12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples. Read the book of Revelation. When he restores the new Jerusalem, there will be 12 pillars of foundations, 12 gates, and 12 angels, because 12 represents order, and God's timing is divine order. If you believe it, somebody give God some praise in this house. It wasn't a coincidence. It was God set up from the very beginning that he was bringing these moments together. And he wants to remind everybody in this room today, I know you maybe have some issues, and I'm not underestimating your issues, but more than issues, you, my friend, you have an inheritance because you are a child of God. So may I say it the way your pastor's been preaching it. Don't do the old you. Don't do your issues. Do the new you. You're a child. You're a son. You're a daughter. Come on, if you know who you are today, stand up on your feet. Give God some praise and worship him like you know who you are. Say, with God, there's always a way. And by faith, I will find it. With God, there's always a way. And by faith, I will find it. This woman's got a blood issue. Let's be honest. We've all got a blood issue. It really wasn't, that's not really the best way to say it, blood issue. What this woman has is a blood disorder. That what is meant to happen periodically is now happening perpetually. But the very same thing is true for you and I. That all the way back in the garden, when Adam ate that fruit, it set a blood disorder into motion. But I'm grateful right there, the promise began. At the moment of sin, God said, I've already made a way. For you will bruise his heel, but he will stomp your head. The moment your problem began, the promise was born. That day, her blood stopped flowing. But how many of you know, some days later, the blood of Jesus would begin to flow. And his blood is more than enough. His blood covers a multitude of sins. His blood relinquishes you from shame and condemnation. You are not what somebody else says about you. You are not what your parents have said about you. You're not your mom. You're not your dad. You're not your mistake. You are not disqualified today. By grace, through faith, God will make a way, and you too can reissue your identity. Go ahead and thank them all over the room today. Do the new you. I want to give people an opportunity right now to be new, to be made new. That's what salvation is. Old things have passed away and the new thing has come. That's why Jesus says we must be reborn. I'm reborn. I'm born again. Why am I born again? Because you're not a son by worth. You're a son by birth. And when you know who you are, you know who your dad is. Stay with your head bowed and your eyes closed before we sing this song. Just sense God's presence here at every location, right there on YouTube right now. If you don't know Jesus, he's here and he loves you and he's for you. And I love Sundays because metaphorically to me, it's like Jesus is passing through, and anybody who reaches out, they can too be healed. They too can find a new identity. It's amazing. Her reach healed her, but Jesus's reach to that little girl resurrected her. The reach of Jesus will pull you up out of that slimy pit, put your feet on a solid rock, a firm foundation. If God pulls you out of that oven too soon, you don't have the foundation to hold up. Trust him, trust him, trust him. Today, would you give him your life? On the count of three, if that's you, saying, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to give my life over to him. I want to repent from my sin. And I want to be reissued a new identity, child of God. On the count of three, if that's you, be bold. This is your time. This is a divine appointment. Ready? On the count of three. One, if that's you, put your hand up. Two, don't look at your neighbor. It's not about your neighbor. If that's you, put your hand up. Ready? One, two, three. If that's you, lift up. That's me, Rich. That's me. 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 Church, can we all lift our hands towards heaven? Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. It all starts with a belief and a confession. So declare this out loud and then we're going to sing. Say, dear Jesus, today I give you my life. I repent. Forgive me. I don't want my way. I want your way. Today I receive the gift of your righteousness. I believe you are who you said that you are. And I'm throwing my life into your hands. Take my past, take my present. I'm even giving you my future. God, help me to do the new me, your child. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said. Come on, Elevation Church. Come on, let's lift our hands. Come on, let's lift our voice. From the back to the front, come on, sing it out.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. You can click the link in the description to give now or visit elevationchurch.org/podcast for more information. And if you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe, you can share it with your friends, you can click the share button, take a screenshot, and share it on your social stories and tag us at Elevation Church. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.